The Leagues of Votan is a collective term for the largest socio-political states of the species known to the Imperium and themselves as the Kin. The appellation is one that can sometimes cause confusion amongst Imperials that are aware of the Kin's very existence. In one's own experience with the species, the Kin likely prefer it to be just so. To offer the most rudimentary explanation, the word Votan refers to the ancestor core at the heart of each of these polities, quantum cogitators of absolutely phenomenal age and power. They contain within them the gestalt, wisdom, and data of the Kin themselves, stretching back millennia into the years of the first human stellar exodus. They are central to the civilization that has grown during those many thousands of years since. Owing to their shared roles as both the locus of knowledge and the font of clone reproduction, it is perhaps understandable why societies form around them, which the Kin and the Imperium have come to refer to as the Leagues. The Votan are not Kin, yet the Kin could not exist without the Votan. Acolytes may refer to one's record upon the history of the Kin for a more fulsome discourse upon the subject. But know then, that this is a record of the collective organizations of the Kin, the means by which this ancient species determined their traditions and cultures. A record of the various Leagues of Votan. Leagues are formed when several kindreds, each of whom possess an ancestor core of their own, bond together for mutual benefit. This could be for a myriad of reasons. Military pacts of guaranteed defense, for example, or economic blocks for co-prosperity. Kindreds themselves are familial bands that vary in size from a close-knit clan to something more analogous to a nation-state. All share one common factor, an origin born of the same ancestor core. The household bond this creates goes beyond the mere blood-relative identities crafted by baseline humans. It is a harmony of intent and action and purpose that unites their society, appearing to certain outsiders as almost if the Kin possess a low-level telepathy they are not revealing to the outside galaxy. In reality, the culture of individual kindreds is woven into their very selves, from the millennia of accrued data possessed by their Votan, making tradition a profound expression of their heritage in a way that humanity simply could not comprehend. Thus, when individual kindreds encounter members of their far-flung species with whom they share commonalities, whether said commonalities be born of culture or situation, the formation of a league is something of a natural step. Generally speaking, it requires as few as 6 kindreds to form a league, although members of the Inquisition have identified leagues containing over 20. A league is much more a confederation or alliance than a nation-state as humanity would understand it. Behaving as part military coalition, part private corporate entity, and part star empire. They lay claim to territory, possess colors and heraldry, set and monitor prices for goods, levy taxation, distribute wealth, and enforce justice. Through various guilds, collectives of kin specializing in a particular trade or service, the leagues regulate the goings-on within their society. Imperial subjects would no doubt balk at the idea of what appears, on paper, to be an organization bereft of centralized leadership. The kin are wayward indeed if they have not accepted within themselves the necessity of tyranny. Yet conduct themselves in such a fashion they do. Centralized authority does not exist within a league. Decisions that are to affect all kindreds within the league are debated and ruled upon in the Hearthspake, a council formed of senior kin drawn from their military bodies, guilds, corporations, technologists, and especially wise and notable Grimnir, they who commune with the ancestor cores. The cores do not rule upon their creations, they merely advise, through the dispensation of knowledge where specific questions are put to them. It is a grim reality, one rarely acknowledged, that the ancestor cores have, in recent millennia, begun to slow down, becoming unable to provide guidance on complex issues, or to spend many months contemplating what would have taken centuries before, mere instants. Thus, the heartspakes of the leagues have begun to shoulder the burden of leadership more frequently, something that has made their already onerous debates even more laborious. Kin are renowned for their obstinacy, forcing debates on even single issues to be drawn out over many days. It should be noted, however, that while the Kin are not immune to the politicking that bedevils similar governing bodies in other species, each member is fundamentally dedicated to the prosperity of their species at a level that is essentially genetic. Where they differ is merely on the means through which this can be effected. As there is no central governing body for the species, neither the Imperium nor the Kin themselves have any idea as to how many leagues exist within the galactic volume. This is no especial source of discomfort to the Kin themselves. A remarkably practical species in outlook, they are content with the knowledge that there are many kindreds abroad across the stars. They hope that they are flourishing and strong, and that they are striving to further the cause and prosperity of all kin, no matter the familial or votanic bonds that they derived from. It is not common, but not unheard of, however, for leagues to devolve into conflict between each other. Such internecine spats may occur for a number of reasons. A mining rights dispute could become so intractable as to dissolve negotiations. Misinterpreted guidance from an ancestor core could conflict with the aims of another league. Whatever the reason, inter-league warfare is considered a great dishonor amongst the kin. Yet, should they deem it a necessity, it will nevertheless be undertaken. Such dark chapters are frequently buried in popular imagination and rarely spoken about, with grudges often held against the foe kin for having forced the League into making such a terrible decision in the first place. If the Leagues of Votan can be said to possess a home volume, that space is held within the depths of the Galactic Core, a terribly inhospitable region of the galaxy that is nevertheless fulsome with rare and exotic elements and materiel highly prized by the enterprising kin. Given that the kin themselves are descended from ancient artificial mining fleets dispatched by humanity into this space, much of the core has technically been occupied for millennia, since the Dark Age of Technology even, yet few within the Imperium are aware of this. Even by the early years of the Great Crusade, knowledge of the kin had been utterly lost during the Age of Strife. The most ancient holds and kin worlds exist here, in the core, stable bubbles of habitable space amongst extreme radiation cascades, ionic reefs, null zones, supermassive black holes, sentient nebulae, and mendicant singularities. The largest of the leagues rule multiple star systems, their rule acknowledged by other leagues thanks to truly ancient provenance. Territory beyond, however, volumes of space that are unclaimed, are considered fully open season for the kin. Once a league has laid claim to any region of the galaxy, that claim is honored by all other kin. Established boundaries rarely shift. While Imperial subjects know that the entire galaxy is mankind's by divine right, the kin, while avaricious, are fulsomely aware of their own capabilities and logistics. A league or kindred will rarely lay claim to a volume unless they are possessed of an absolute certainty in their ability to enforce and exploit that claim. To do anything else is wasteful frippery, and the kin abhor waste above all else. Likewise, should alien or human colonies be operating within the region that have been claimed, warfare is rarely the first means of dealing with the issue. Another indicator of how deviated the kin are from baseline humanity. Deals and accords, ones that always favor the kin, will typically be struck. mining rights granted, for example, or tariffs levied. The kin will, of course, bring their fearsome weapons to bear should they need to, and if a league has decided a planet must be broken in two to extract its wealth, it will absolutely do so, with no thought for any who dwell upon it. The traditions of each individual league will usually form from a hybridization of a range of customs found across its founding kindreds. They are likewise informed by deep lore provided by the league's ancestor core, and indeed some of the personality idiosyncrasies of those selfsame cores. In typically conservative kin fashion, the originally ratified charter, or verbal agreement, between allies solidifies into tradition that all of the League's kindreds are expected to uphold. Often, this will occur within as short a period of time as a generation or two. Such rigid cultural touchstones are a facet of kin psychology that underpins their society. Without heritage, they are bereft of guidance. In this manner, the origins of a League will dictate the character of the League forevermore, even if, long centuries after their initial foundation of the Compact, everything has changed. A league whose kindreds were founded on the basis of speculation by their Chthonian mining guilds may become notoriously avaricious in their pursuit of mineral wealth. One that was formed to conduct more seamless interstellar trade may possess a comfortably cosmopolitan outlook, interacting with Xenos species of every stripe with ease and friendship. Conversely, a league founded to resist hostile invaders will forevermore be bellicose and militaristic, while those founded in Sfar space, the term the kin use for the galactic territory outside the core, are like as not to be paranoid, suspicious, and even cynical, having been born amidst the harsh realities of galactic life. Within the galactic core are contained the oldest and most established of the leagues. The largest among these is the Greater Thurian League, whose compact encompasses over 200 distinct kindreds. Seeing themselves as the epitome of all that the kin aspire to and represent, the Greater Thurian League wields phenomenal military and economic power. It is uncompromising in its drive to explore, acquire, and conquer. Within the League's umbrella is contained massive and astonishingly wealthy guilds, such as the Chthonian Guild of Kadok, the Starstrider Mercantile Confederation, and the Yingvari Combined Logistics, ensuring a shared prosperity that is second to none. The guild's greatest holds are considered by the kin to be fundamentally impenetrable. The Crimson Gulf and Urvium's Bulwark are by all accounts some of the first settled world in the galactic core, making their provenance almost impossibly ancient. Against the grain of their perhaps less enterprising fellows, the Greater Thurian League has long ventured into far space beyond the core, dispatching pioneering fleets known as Prospects to explore, trade, or fight as mercenaries. Consequently, the League possesses some of the oldest contacts with various species and polities throughout the galaxy, and perhaps the greatest degree of intelligence on the same. In recent years, the Greater Thurian League has been presented with a significant challenge with the opening of Warp Storm Orgvar. The Galactic Core was not spared the cascading immaterial disturbances that flowed through the skyne from the opening of the Great Rift. And now, the Thurian League has been forced to contend with arch-enemy invasions on their most secure territories, forcing them to take a far more aggressive and militaristic stance than they had previously embodied. This has included colonization efforts in the Imperium's Marsalis and Sepulchre sectors, both of which are adjacent to the League's volumes in the Galactic Core, specifically in order to claim new worlds to make up the shortfall of planets lost to the Warp Storm. By contrast, the League known as the Urani Serta Regulates, or URSR, has spent nigh their entire existence embattled. Their territories in the southern reaches of the Galactic Core have been persistently beset by raiding fleets of an Orc Empire based in the Shattered Stars, and in recent millennia, their enemies were joined by the newly awakened Samnok dynasty of the Necrons, the Pharaon of which, citing an ancient dynastic claim, has put their eye on the League's homeworlds. Last and not even least, the URSR's hold on the North Star Cluster was disrupted by a Tyranid infestation that displayed a curious sort of nesting instinct rarely seen amongst that vicious Xenos strain, defending a series of systems while hungrily seeking out other systems to invade. While even the steadfast kin would be quite pragmatic in giving ground to such exigencies, the URSR has refused to, and made absolutely no explanation to the other leagues for their obstinacy. The only reasoning given, when pressed, is apparently claims that their ancestors would forever forsake them for abandoning their familial homelands. This has naturally been laid open to rumors and supposition. Kindreds otherwise have speculated that the URSR possesses some secret of technology of vital importance within their claimed volumes, such that even to speak of it to outsiders would pose a grave risk, let alone its capture to the foe. Less conspiratorial voices state that the more likely reason is the swearing of some particularly hasty or ill-thought grudges by their forebearers, forcing the League to be honor-bound to wars they simply can never win. Others still scoff at the folly of stubbornness, stating that the URSR are simply deluded, that they are too proud to admit that return on investment for their present hardships will be poor indeed, and that they have fallen far too deeply into the sin of sunken cost fallacy. The URSR cares naught for any of this speculation. Their kindreds adopt an ascetic life, focusing maximum efforts on population expansion and resource management, all while maintaining a ferocious loyalty to one another, blurring the lines between individual kindreds and the League as a whole. While all kin take societal pride in craftsmanship, the Ingmar conglomerate is known across all the species as ranking amongst the very best. Renowned artisans and manufacturers, their kindreds are equipped with the most advanced technology they can develop, and they wield armaments of devastating potential in wartime. The conglomerate is one of the smallest, yet also most renowned of the leagues, owing to its strict standards of entry. To be permitted to join, a kindred must either prove the exceptional skills of their Brokhir technologists, or possess territories and claims that have a suitably fulsome bounty of raw materials to fuel the forges of the League's other kindreds. While the latter means of qualification may strike one's acolytes as simply purchasing favor in the most cynical way possible, the kin do not view it as such. To their ever-practical minds, they are now in possession of an abundance of resources that would otherwise be in the hands of a competitor. For the cost of their labors, the incoming kindred is then well-equipped with arms, starships, and technology that may otherwise be extremely difficult for them to come into possession of. Consequently, the living standard amongst conglomerate kindreds are considered by most other kin as bordering on decadence, dwelling in cosmopolitan holds, protected by advanced energy shields, and ferried around by fast ships and advanced teleportation arrays. Their oathbands likewise possessed a profusion of advanced beam weaponry and Colossus-class war machines, armies equipped at levels other kindreds would reserve for their most elite soldiery only. Prior to the opening of the Great Rift, oathbands and prospects of the Ymgar conglomerate were frequent sights across the galaxy, ranging far to acquire rare materials and minerals, research lost and forbidden technologies. These efforts have been recently redoubled, as the chaos of the galaxy's present era has offered enterprising and risk-friendly kin unprecedented opportunities, as well as dangers. Even more common than the Ymgar conglomerate abroad across the stars are the colors of the Trans-Hyperion Alliance, considered by many the furthest traveled of the entire kin species. Explorers and adventurers of unparalleled curiosity and tenacity, the Alliance forever seeks new and undiscovered realms of space, new species to trade with, and new warp routes to bring the kin to the reaches of far space. Technically, the Trans-Hyperion Alliance controls more territory than several other leagues combined. But these holds are far-flung, separated not only by sector, but also segmenta. The kindred of this league dwell in isolated pockets, but remain in frequent contact with each other thanks to the Alliance's advanced communication systems, as well as their profusion of nomadic prospect fleets, most of whom will never remain in a single location for too long. The League's three Votan are themselves mobile, dwelling within massive fortress vessels and accompanied by the Trans-Hyperion Alliance's largest fleets. Interestingly, the kin of the Alliance form what is the closest parallel to a religion the Imperium has yet encountered within the species. A cult of ancestor worship, centering around their triumvirate Votan, emerged within the Trans-Hyperion Alliance many millennia ago, with the kin of the League even going so far as to proffer small votive offerings to their ancestor cores at special fanes aboard their ships and holds. Such an act, the gifting of something for no profit and no function, is generally anathema to the kin. But to those of the Trans-Hyperion Alliance, it is an honor to their forebearers. A transaction of value only, never of cost. They view exploration with a similar fashion, often pursuing leads that other kin would see little value in, for the sake of enrichment of the mind, if not necessarily the body. Rarely gathering in large numbers, the Trans-Hyperion Alliance nevertheless will muster should any of their three Votan appear at risk, or if one element of the League is endangered by an existential-level threat. By far the most militaristic of the Greater Leagues, the Cronus hegemony is a relatively young alliance born within the last millennium, in response to the ever-worsening conditions of the wider galaxy. Their origin lies in the transition of the fane of Corrin's kindred to self-awareness. The birth of a new Votan is a momentous event for the kin, and this latest one immediately began exhibiting a drive for knowledge and resources that was, frankly, aggressive, ending the celebrations of its kindred early as it advised them in the strongest terms to seek out what it was demanding. Corrin's kindred had been a relatively small kindred within the Capellan League, a compact that was even then fraying and faltering, coming apart at the seams due to situations far beyond its control. Now with their own Votan, Corrin's kindred decided to cut their losses with their failing league, breaking away and bringing with them several other kindreds impressed by the fledgling Votan's drive and vigor. This forthright bellicosity was quite attractive. The ranks of the new Cronus hegemony swelled rapidly, and their aggressive expansionism has become a trademark that has only grown more pronounced in recent centuries. Kindreds that wish to join are expected to be martial above all else, and that other aspects of kin society, namely mercantilism and forgecraft, are bent towards the military regime of the League. This does not end with their initial intake. Every year, conquest quotas are imposed by Corrin's kindred upon its other fellows, with a portion of the spoils being delivered for the defense of the Votan. This has, of course, led to standoffs and skirmishes with other leagues. There are only so many enemy worlds to conquer and despoil before friendly ones will come under the warlike eye of a hegemony kindred. Quick to offense, and willing to square grudges all too readily, the Cronus hegemony is a difficult partner at the best of times, but there are few kin that would turn their nose at the military aid the League can provide during an alien invasion or an imperial crusade. A myriad of other smaller leagues frequently seek to embody the traditions of kin culture more strongly than the larger ones, or seek to fulfill what they see as a gap in the society in their given volume. For example, the Gulo industrial complex eschew everything save for the preservation of trade routes, ensuring their merchantmen vessels are well armed and in constant movement, with their internal policy decided by the influence of several large and powerful Chthonian mining guilds. The Typhon Styx Protectorate are the precise opposite, putting their focus on creating impregnable fortresses and holding their ancestral territories at all costs. The Sigma Draconi Union is a league that prizes honorable combat, developing a complex chain of command and hierarchy, profoundly intricate heraldry, and a diverse force of arms, all adhering to a strict code of conduct. The League of the Tethys Expanse are, if anything, even more widespread than the Trans-Hyperion Alliance, but dedicated, above all else, to maintaining and developing a communications network that it offers the services of to other kindreds and leagues for exorbitant fees. The Pan-Telluric Commonwealth, abhorring the degeneration of Imperial society, has set itself on becoming the most egalitarian culture the galaxy can see, welcoming humans and aliens of all stripes into its holds as friends. Finally, the Sarantok Mercantile League are renowned amongst the Tau Empire as great allies and artificers, most famous of all for supplying the Tau with their ion weapons technology. Ironically, the appearance of the League's clone Skynes as rock-like has led to their initial classification as an entirely new Xenos species, dubbed the Demiurge, assumed by Imperial Assayers to be yet another one of the sundry auxiliary species within the Tau's expansive allied forces. These are all but some examples of the many leagues that have been assessed by the Imperium in recent millennia. As the chaos of the era Indomitus continues, it is likely that many more will be encountered as ancient holds fall, kindreds are displaced, and new opportunities present themselves. Until such a time as I may continue to pursue the elucidation of my acolytes, Ave Imperator, Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @oculusimperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.